This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Friday, December 21st, 2012. State economists were in an optimistic mood yesterday, saying Colorado's economy is performing better than the rest of the nation. As a result, lawmakers will also have more money to spend in next year's budget than originally anticipated. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Governor Hickenlooper's budget director, Henry Sobenet, says the rosier-than-first-expected economic picture will add about $150 million to the state's coffers. And he says the governor is already working on several proposals for how to spend the money.
We will probably add to our K-12 and higher education requests public health and safety issues in addition to mental health, other infrastructure things, and economic development. So I can't give you specific numbers, but those are the categories we're looking at.
Even without specifics, the governor's suggestions are only a starting point. It's ultimately up to state lawmakers to craft and approve the final budget. Incoming Democratic Speaker of the House, Mark Ferrandino, says his top priority will be putting more money into education. But he acknowledges there are a lot of competing priorities, which can make budget negotiations tricky.
One of the things when you have more money, it's actually easier. I actually argue sometimes it's harder because we don't have enough money to restore all the cuts that have been made over the last couple of years. So people see there's more money and everyone wants that money for what they think is the most important thing. And there are a lot of important things.
This is the first time in years lawmakers are able to restore programs that were cut during the recession. Natalie Mullis is the legislature's nonpartisan chief economist.
It's not a surplus. It's the amount of money you have available for the fiscal year 13-14 budget to increase spending over what is happening this year.
Mullis says the state's economy is poised for a strong recovery next year, which means people will have more cash to spend, the housing market should improve, and jobs and wages will be higher. She says rural Colorado is also performing well.
Fruit crops out on the western slope, the corn crops on the eastern plains, those crops have done better in Colorado than much of the rest of the nation because of the irrigation in Colorado.
But Mullis and Budget Director Henry Sobenet note that Colorado is not out of the financial woods yet. Sobenet says the European recession is slowing overall recovery, and going over the fiscal cliff would plunge the state into a recession. He says the next revenue forecast will be even more telling.
We'll know more about the political environment. We'll have more economic data. Every year, the March forecast is the most important. It's just a little bit more important than normal this time.
It'll be the last economic snapshot before lawmakers write and approve next year's budget. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife biologists continue to work to restore the kokanee salmon population at Blue Mesa Reservoir. But much more needs to be done before the fishery is considered to be in balance again. According to the agency, sonar surveys of the reservoir estimate that the current kokanee population is about 280,000, the same as the last 2 years. In 2001, the reservoir held an estimated 1 million kokanee. The dramatic decline is due to the rapidly growing lake trout population. Since 2009, the agency has been removing lake trout from Blue Mesa and increasing the number of kokanee fingerlings stocked every spring. And they're encouraging anglers to continue catching and keeping lake trout. Parks and Wildlife has focused extra effort on Blue Mesa because it is the most important kokanee fishery in the state. The Blue Mason kokanee provide the vast majority of the eggs needed to stock up to 26 other reservoirs in the state. The Paonia Eagles beat out 38 teams to win last weekend's Warrior Classic Wrestling Tournament. The prestigious all-class tournament attracts teams from throughout the state, Utah, Wyoming, and Arizona. KVNF sports reporter Tammy Meck has more.
The Eagles earned 204.5 points and claimed two championships to win the 35th annual Warrior Classic. At 113 pounds, sophomore Josh Altman defeated Matt Lavengood of Durango in an 8-5 decision to claim his first Warrior title. And at 195 pounds, Morgan Reeder had a first-round pin over Tyler Frambois of Eagle Valley for the win. Reeder is now 14-0 for the season. At 182 pounds, Tyler Kendall lost by a 6-0 decision to Class 5A wrestler Josh Semler of Roosevelt to place second. And at 285, Paonia's Tony Darling also placed second after a loss by pin to Cole Mayer of Uinta, Utah. Darling will enter the new year with a 12-1 record. At 120 pounds, Olathe Jr., Trenton Pyatt, held on to his perfect record, defeating Paonia freshman Bo Pfeiffer by a 3-0 decision. And Olathe's Austin Shank defeated Logan Newman of Rocky Mountain to place third in the 113-pound division. Two top-ranked local wrestlers worked their way through the 160-pound bracket to compete for the championship. Montrose senior Marcus Velasquez, the top-ranked 4A wrestler, gave 2A wrestler Trey Sickles of Nucla his first loss of the season. Velasquez managed a 6-4 win for the championship. Cedar Edge freshman Austin Todd defeated Fruita Monument junior Eli Conrad 3-0 to place fifth. At 145 pounds, Paonia's Ty Coates also placed fifth after pinning Trevor Garcia of Palisade. Paonia sophomore 220 Joel Seminar lost to Daniel Gustafson of Durango by an 8-2 decision to place sixth. In basketball, the Delta girls opened the season with three losses at the annual Black Canyon tournament at Montrose. The Lady Panthers opened with a 46-39 loss to Grand Junction on Thursday. On Friday, they fell to Fruita Monument by a score of 58-48, and on the final day of the three-day tournament, lost 52-39 to Montrose. Montrose was undefeated for the tournament, also topping Roosevelt 52-36 and Alamosa 59-39. The Lady Indians are 5-1 with a season-opening loss on December 6th to Elizabeth. The Cedar Ridge boys are now 2-2 after a 61-46 loss to Aspen on Tuesday, and the Lady Bruins are 3-1 after a 50-26 win over the Lady Skiers. The Norwood girls are now 4-0 following a 31-49 win over Sargent. The Lady Mavericks host Plateau Valley tonight at 6 and welcome Dolores on Saturday. And the Hotchkiss girls up their winning streak to 6 Tuesday with an 82-44 win over Ouray. Point guard Natalie Anderson scored 25 points for Hotchkiss, with Ouray's Jackie Saunders scoring a game-high 28 points for the Lady Trojans. Delta County Schools will compete today and tomorrow in the annual Colorado First National Bank Tournament. The Delta girls and boys teams will be defending their tournament championships from 2011. Paonia and Hotchkiss will open the tournament, with the girls tipping off at 3, followed by the boys' game at 4:30. The Delta boys and Cedar Ridge girls are scheduled to play at 6, followed by the Cedar Ridge Delta boys' game. Consolation games begin Saturday at 3 p.m. The tournament will wrap up Saturday evening with the men's championship game scheduled for 7:30. All games will be held at Delta High School. For KVNF News, I'm Tammy Meck with your weekly sports report.
And now for the solstice edition of the Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society.
December 21st marks the year's longest night and shortest day, with daylight lasting only 9 hours and 20 minutes on the Western Slope. This is our winter solstice, the first official day of winter. Earth's northern hemisphere is now tilted strongly away from the sun, and the sun is shining at low angles to the ground, greatly diminishing the energy we receive from it. For many weeks around winter solstice, the sun follows a southerly course through our sky, rising late and setting early. After sunset this week, a bright gibbous moon lights up our evening sky, making the fainter stars invisible. If you go outside at about 7 p.m. each evening, you'll see the waxing moon becoming steadily brighter each night as it moves eastward in its orbit around the Earth. We say the moon is waxing when it appears to grow as the sun progressively illuminates more of the moon's face on successive nights. The moon becomes full on December 28th. Just after evening twilight, you may see ruddy-colored Mars very low in the southwestern sky. Mars has been steadily fading since early March, as we on Earth have raced ahead of Mars in our faster orbit around the Sun. Jupiter, king of the planets, rises high in the east as darkness falls. Jupiter is now the brightest object in the evening sky, except for the moon. For those braving the morning cold, the planet Saturn rises in the east before 4 a.m., and brilliant Venus, less bright Mercury, and the reddish star, Antares, form an interesting triangle that rises in the southeast around 6:40 a.m. from December 21st through the 26th. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Mark Trevina.
I'd like to close this morning's newscast with a little extra something. Not necessarily news, so I hope you'll indulge me. Just a few hours ago, we passed a winter solstice of 2012. Days get longer from here as we see a return of the sun, something humans have celebrated for millennia. This particular solstice, of course, has been much in the news for some time now, arguably for thousands of years, I suppose. And the fact that I'm speaking and you're listening means there was no catastrophic event that changed everything. So I guess that could be considered news. Here we are, just an instant after an astrological alignment that was foreseen so many years ago and interpreted, or misinterpreted, by many, many people, lately leading to a bit of hysteria. Perhaps it is better to say it was predicted many cycles ago. But who's to say there wasn't an event 5 hours ago? And who's to say that everything isn't different now? Just like the Buddha's parable of the blind man and the elephant, our perspective is likely just one small view of a much larger existence. By certain accounts, what has happened is a passage from dark to light. Some say we have entered a cycle of awakening anticipated for a long, long time by beings from the far reaches of outer and inner space. The universe is in balance and harmony can return to our lives. A good wish for all. A time of uncertainty, perhaps. It will be whatever we, you and I, make of it. Having said that, consider this from prolific author and organic farmer Wendell Berry. It may be when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work, and that when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey. This is Brian Cambria. It's a great day.